Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of the Local New York Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Tringale, and my guest this week is Kyle Mastropietro, owner of Kasai and Armory Square, and as you'll learn here in just a moment, owner of a very new venture coming to Armory Square in downtown Syracuse. I'm not going to take up too much more of your time in this intro. We're going to get to the episode so you can find out what we're talking about in this week's episode. I will just say I'm thrilled to have Kyle on now for the third time on the podcast. We talk about it in the podcast. He's the only guest we've had back in the early days when we were using the Cafe Cubal offices as our quote-unquote studio. Then we were next door at our first studio here at the Delavan Center, and now we're here in our bigger space. So first three-peat guest, first guest to be in all three studios for different episodes. So just thrilled to know Kyle, to work a little bit with him, to have him here on the podcast. And yeah, that's it. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Kyle Mastropietro. We're here with Kyle and current owner of Kasai. And should we just get into it? Should we make the announcement now?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So I will actually. I'm gonna lead with this before you tell the world, everyone across the entire globe that's listening and watching right now. We were during the pandemic in the early days of the day that we did the build a pizza video at Gearhars. I think it was me, you, Rich, and Anthony D'Onofrio were standing in the kitchen. And we were talking about like restaurants in downtown because somebody was getting ready to open or close or something.
Closed at that point.
Yeah. And I think I asked all three of you the question, what do you think downtown Syracuse is missing? And what's a restaurant? And your response was like a legit brew pub. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was your response. So what's going on? What's next in the chapter, the book for Kyle?
Well, that was a little foreshadowing because before the pandemic, we were approached for our new project. That's not such a, it's still a secret, but I guess not now.
Yeah.
So we were opening the Tap House on Walton in the formerly occupied space by Blue Tusk.
Hold on, you're ruining a small local business.
No. I understand a lot of people look at it that way, and there's a lot of misinformation there about how all this went down. I don't want to get into that.
Right.
As a person, when I was approached for this project, my first thought was, oh my God.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Yeah.
And then my second opinion was like, yeah, I want to do that. And then thirdly, it was like, oh boy, this is tricky. Cause I mean, the first bar my wife took me to when I moved up from Philadelphia downtown was the Blue Tusk.
Yeah.
And she knew that I would like it. Mm. She's like, you love craft beer. You love, everything this bar is about. And, I did. And we really did love it. And, I think it's important for me going forward and us as a company what we're doing has nothing to do with Blue Tusk. Why we've waited so long to come out with our news, even after the news came out, however it did with Blue Tusk closing, it's just to give them their respect, give them their time. I didn't want to step on Tim's shoes or his feet.
Yeah.
I respect them like crazy. Respect everything they built. You know me, I love craft beer.
Yeah.
It was my biggest hobby before I opened a restaurant was brewing beer.
Yeah.
My wife and I go to all the breweries around here. We, I'm friends with all the brewers. We know if I'm not friends with them, at least we have a business relationship and we will be friends. It's just because Kasai's kept me pretty busy for the last 3 years. it's just the next step in my career as a chef and a restaurateur. We were going to open Tap House, whether it was at Center Armory or
somewhere else
it was going to happen, and the same with what's going on their side. If it wasn't me, it was going to be somebody else, and I just feel fortunate enough that They are put. They did come to us first.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great. Yeah, I mean that says a lot about what people see in you as a restaurant owner or business owner. So that's awesome. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, talking about the story and how the announcement of everything, you know, that came out in the post. I feel like, especially Armory Square, because of everything that happened with Empire, that people are in Syracuse are conditioned to say, if a business is closing down in Armory, that it's some big bad, you know, real estate broker or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's their fault. It's somebody that's doing something to the local business.
Yeah.
When there's so much that goes into a business owner's decisions to open another business or close the current business.
Correct.
And the Blue Tusk has been there for, what, 25 years?
I think we're going on 25, 26, yeah.
You know, it's a family-run business. They just came out of a really tough year. Things really aren't back to normal yet. And I'm sure for them that it's like, wow, we could get out of here and, you know, not have to deal with all this crazy stress or anxiety from having this business. I'm sure in some ways it's a blessing for them, but yeah. It's not, to me, it doesn't seem like from the very little that I know of the situation, this is not another Empire situation where it's like somebody's coming in from out of state to come screw over the local Syracuse business.
Yeah, no, none of that happened. Again, I can't speak to what happened on their end of it. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that the people involved on the landlord side, Ed and Joe, they care. They care a lot. This was not an easy decision for them. Hasn't been an easy transition. You know, I won't say how long we've been working on this, but it's been a long time.
Yeah.
And it wasn't done callously.
Right.
You know, everything was considered.
Yeah.
You know, again, from my viewpoint, you know, it's one of the harder things when you talk about, yes, it's another family, but you know, I have a family too.
Yeah.
And I want to do everything for my son and, my wife and my future children.
Right.
And this was just an opportunity that I could not pass up. This was, it's a dream. It's a dream come true.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I knew I wanted to be a restaurateur for a very long time now. And I knew Tap House was going to be my, a future project.
Yeah.
I couldn't dream of a better location.
Yeah.
And also, to kind of take the baton from what they've built and just keep running with it. You know, I've talked with you about some of our plans for the place, you know, putting in a sourdough bakery that's attached to the pub.
Yeah.
You know, adding more seats, you know, full renovation into the space, utilizing an abundance of tap lines at all times.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about it more through the podcast here, what my plans are, but
yeah,
you know, I envision an amazing place, and it's not an evil empire.
Yeah.
Right. You know, scenario, you know, it wasn't there. I'm not coming in to conquer and ruin somebody's families and dreams.
For sure.
You know, it's, I'm just going on as a business owner
and
growing my company and my family.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, listen, you look at Empire and that's what, 2 years old now, or it's almost 2 years since they went out, and that place is still empty.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to see empty storefronts down there.
I mean,
I know that place had some plumbing issues and it needed some work, but also that's a different landlord too. So I can't, you know, and Empire situation's a lot different than our former tenant or current tenant in the space is dealing with. It's a very different situation.
Right.
And of course, you know, I'm human. I read the comments. You know, I see people saying, fuck Joe, fuck Ed, fuck. And it's just not fair. It's not. Sure, you can be upset about Tusk, Grief Tusk.
Right.
That's why we've waited so long to come out with our news.
Yeah.
Because I did too, man. I used to go there after shifts at Kasai.
Yeah.
Some of the hardest days I had where I didn't know if I could meet payroll at Kasai and didn't know if it would work in those first years, you know, when I was just struggling and getting beat down. Sometimes I'd go over there and have a beer, you know, just to get away.
Yeah.
You know, so it has meaning for me too.
For sure.
And which is why, you know, I understand why people are so upset. But then you see the comments where it's like, you know, fuck this guy. I hope they fail.
Yeah.
And you signed a 25-year. It's just so much misinformation coming out. And it's why.
It's fake news.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
It is, though.
That was for you, Kristen.
No, but I mean, but, it is though. Yeah, it really is. Nobody backed up a dump truck full of cash. I don't have that kind of money. Yeah. I opened the first ramen shop in Syracuse. I don't have a dumpster full of cash. Yeah. You know what I mean? I you know, it's just, it's silly. But again, we're not trying not to get involved in any of that stuff. We're just going to, you know, stay nice and quiet and respectful. And then, you know, when it's our time to do what we're going to do, we hope that, you know, people will check it out, because we are planning on doing something very special.
Yeah. My point is that Empire, you know, it's a very different situation, completely different. You did have a big, bad, you know, real estate company from downstate that bought the building and kind of screwed them over. And there's other parts to that story, too, that we don't need to get into. But my point is Empire is sat empty, like the most unique restaurant space in downtown Syracuse.
Yeah, it's a super cool space.
Has sat empty now for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And things were going to be changing at Tusk anyways, whether you were involved or not.
Correct.
And we should be celebrating the fact that it's another locally owned restaurant that's going to be going in there. That's going to be continuing, you know, the same concept sort of that's in there now, you
loosely
know, a tap house, a, you know, beer house of some sort.
I think
sort,
where the connections will lie is just the love of beer.
Right.
And that's pretty much where it's going to stop.
Supporting the local craft beer industry in New York
State. I think
State.
We'll even maybe do that, you know, to a more extreme level. We talked about my relationship with the local breweries. You know, we're tight. You know, we're gonna have every beer you could want from any of these breweries.
Yeah.
You know, our goal is to take all of the judged categories, all of the, you know, recognized beer categories, and have five or six different breweries have their representation of that category or their one of their brews from that category.
Yeah.
Including, you know, Beer Tree and Other Half and beers that you can't find in other bars in the city. I think when we lost Jay Ryan's, that was a huge hit to the beer community.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the steady decline of other beer selections in the area, it's been tough, you know, with COVID and whatnot. But, you know, we're going to hit the ground running. I mean, we've mocked up our first order for beer, and it's not going to be small.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're going to really, really have a nice beer section. We're planning monthly specials, weekly specials with breweries where they can come take over 10 lines or 8 lines or 6 lines, you know, whatever it is. And then we pair that with some of the food selections for the month, and that's what will be special.
That's awesome.
You know, I just think with that space and what I have planned for it, I think, you know, people hopefully will get over the what, you know, preceded it, you know, again, and hopefully don't hold that against us.
Right. And this, the second biggest announcement for this podcast is that we're officially announcing the Tap House is joining the Eat Local New York card, everybody.
Of course, you know we will.
That's maybe on par with the announcement.
Yeah. So the name, of course, again, is the Tap House on Walton.
Yeah.
We're also going to be opening a bakery with it as well.
That's awesome. Under the same name or a different name?
We haven't quite gotten that far yet with that. Originally, our plan was to not open the bakery to the public, just to kind of feed the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, just have that be the intestine for the restaurant. You know, flour comes in, bread goes out, and it's at your table. It kind of shifted a little bit. Now we're thinking that maybe we will open the bakery to the public.
That's cool.
It's not going to be similar to any of the bakeries that are already downtown. We're not going to be stepping on any toes or trying not to.
Right.
Of course, being conscious of our neighbors and the community that we have, we're trying to add something different.
Yeah.
We're not trying to replace or dominate anybody or anything like that or compete. We're trying to just add to the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm not from Syracuse, but I've been here 10 years now, a little longer than that. Yeah, it'd be 10 years this summer.
Hmm.
I love it. I love Armory Square. It pains me to see open storefronts like Empire and all that. And it pains me when places are struggling or, you know, when somebody else is having a hard time. I've been there, you know, think opening Kasai was easy. It most certainly was not. We're pretty stable now, but, you know, that could always change in this business.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, what we want to do is just add something that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
in Armory Square or downtown right now.
Yeah.
There's places where you can go get great beer selection and great food, but there's nobody is doing what we are going to do.
Yeah.
You know, with the in-house made sourdough breads, you know, pan rustico breads, all, you know, we're going to do like Mexican beer breads. The cheese boards aren't going to be just cheese boards. You know, they're going to be, you can go on your phone or tell your server and order cheese by the gram and the ounce, you know, focaccia sandwiches, flatbreads, but everything will be like it is a Kasai. We make everything from scratch.
What it sounds like to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like, I don't want to call it upscale, but it is going to be that. It sounds like kind of like a, well, it sounds like in one sense, it's going to be an upscale version of Blue Tusk, like not fancy, but I mean, making your own sourdough breads and cheeses and all that kind of stuff, along with these beer things. But also, it sounds like really just kind of breathing new life into, you know, that style of a business, right? Like a beer
house. I'd say instead of looking at maybe who occupied the space for so long, we really want to try and avoid any comparisons to Blue Tusk. They are their own thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they did wonders for the city. Look what they did for the beer scene.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, there was no beer scene.
Yeah.
You know, look how they helped Middle Ages. Isaac's a really good friend of mine. I don't know his dad very well, but Isaac and I are real tight.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, look what they've did for them. It's huge. It's, so I don't really, yes, some of what we're going to do is similar. I'd say a better comparison is take a look at a restaurant that I loved and what made me want to open a restaurant like this, or it's more of a bar and a cafe really than a restaurant. But what made me want to open this kind of concept was one of my favorite places in Philadelphia called Tria, T-R-I-A. They have a couple different locations in Philly, one in Rittenhouse. I haven't been there in so long. I don't know how many they have now, but I think they have two or three.
Okay.
But it's an amazing wine and cheese bar with great bruschetta. And, you know, you can go get eggplant caponata with shaved pecorino romano on it. And, you know, just these awesome, awesome dishes. It's a place where you go before dinner. Or after dinner, you know, get great desserts, nice glass of wine, amazing beer selection, you know, imported beers that you won't find anywhere else in Philadelphia or very few places. But what always happened with that place, like me and my friends would go, or my wife and I, when we were dating, first dating, we would have reservations somewhere else. Be like, let's try and get a table at Tria for appetizers first.
Yeah.
And the key is try,
because
it's a small place and it's not easy to get a table there. And we would always just stay. We're going to cancel our reservations. You know, and you just sit there eating your flatbreads and your focaccia or whatever they have. I don't know if they have focaccia, but you get the idea, like your cheeses and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So we don't want to be like, it's not going to be where you got to wear a button down or you have to be a business person.
Right.
We really want to stay away from like upscale and stuff. I mean, it's, yes, totally different business than Kasai, but kind of look at how Kasai has some elevated food, but you can walk in and t-shirts and jeans and, or, you know, some people think that you could look at it the other way too, where people think ramen is, you know, lower peasant food, and then come in and there's, you know, 16-hour smoked brisket or wagyu on in there and all these elegant dishes that aren't going to kill you. What we're looking for in this is just for everybody, something for everybody.
That's cool.
You know, whether you're there for lunch and you want to go grab a quick sandwich to go, or quick sandwich while you're there. If you're out at Al's, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning and you're like, oh, I want to bring this party home, and you don't have any beer, come grab some beer from us to take home. You know, that's what we're looking to. Looking for something for everybody.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be awesome, man. I mean, I think it's pretty cool that you guys are going to be doing this. And I was just talking to a brewer in town and talking to him about trying to get his opinion on how like the craft beer industry feels right now. Cause to me it feels kind of stale. I mean, obviously more and more people are drinking beer, and there's a lot of Bud Light fans out there that still need to be converted, but the craft beer industry doesn't feel like it has the same excitement to me that it used to. And I think doing something like this could kind of bring that in. So one thing that he and I were talking about was like the craft beer scene in Chicago, for example, to me, has always felt like it has more of a connection to food. Like craft beer and really great food kind of go hand in hand in Chicago. And I've never really gotten that sense here in Syracuse. It just feels like it's, you know, you're eating and there's this local beer and it could pair well, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're going to kind of, you know, Tap House is going to do a great job of kind of bridging those two together.
I think there's, you look at places around here, Evergreen, Fish Fryer, Kasai.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us that care about the local beer, care about craft beer, see the excitement that you would see in other cities, but our resources are limited. I have 8 tap lines at Kasai.
Right.
If I wanted to put more in, you're looking at thousands of dollars in construction, and you know, I did it on a shoestring budget. There was no way. That's what I got. And that's why we have such a big can selection at Kasai that's frequently changing, so that I can get around that. But so I think that's where it is. And I think also in some of these cities where Chicago or Philadelphia, and you're talking about the craft beer scene and how exciting it is, there's just more of everything, you know? So it's just, sure. I can see where everybody thinks you could say that about anything, kind of seems a little less exciting right now. I mean, we all just went through a year of hell with lockdowns and and breweries dumping beer out by the gallons.
Right.
You know, that's a story. Everybody talks about restaurants, how hard we were hit. How about Middle Ages? That was, you know, he went to see Isaac and he's like, this whole room has to get dumped. And, you know, think about the catastrophic losses that cost.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know? So I think, you know, like the beer we're drinking right now from Beer Tree.
Yeah.
It's a blueberry layered, but there's cinnamon, granola, peach, blueberry, marshmallow. And it's a 6.7 beer that's, you know, somebody who might not like beer might try that and be like, oh my God. Yeah. And I think that's what's exciting about craft beer right now. You know, everybody kind of dogs on the New England IPA. Hazy boy type.
Yeah, right.
I love it.
Yeah.
And why I love it is because it got people like my wife who would always pick a cocktail.
Yeah.
Or a wine or a mixed drink over beer. It got her wanting to go to Now and Later. It got her wanting to go to, you know, the bottle shop with me to see, oh, well, I like this beer.
Yeah.
It got her to, like, when we would go to Stowe, to want to go to Alchemist, you know, and try some beers, or, you know, want to drive the 45 minutes to Hills Farmstead and stand in line for 3 hours for one little sip of beer and a couple to go. You know, it. I think there's a lot, and that's still going on. It just kind of this year, just kind of.
Yeah.
Shit on everything, really.
Yeah, right.
For the most part. So I think there's still a lot of really great brewers, and they have a lot, and it's just it's creating so much good competition between them.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of room for us to grow, and hopefully us at Tap House, we can just keep shining a light on how cool of a scene there is.
Yeah,
pairing really great food with it, of course.
Right. I think that'll be kind of the cool part, is to see, you know, what you guys can do or will do for a lot of those craft breweries, you know, being able to kind of bring some of the not as well known ones, you know, to more people's attention, the attention of more people. But also just kind of like rocking out some cool events or doing like, you know, 10 tap takeover stuff like that. That'll be awesome to see.
Yeah. I mean, we do the beer dinners through the past at any place that I've ever been in.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing them at the On Center.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which isn't like a restaurant, you know, still doing beer dinners.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been with me ever. When I was at Nestico's, when I first came up from Philadelphia, we were doing beer dinners in his private room upstairs.
Oh, really?
Where I was like selling tickets to this beer, and I'd bring in a couple breweries and we'd pair it up with some, you know, apps that were included in your ticket price. You know, just something I really love.
Yeah.
And it's just, I can't wait. It's been tough these last couple months, especially the last couple weeks when the news broke, and just see all the negativity, and I just want to climb up from the mountaintops and be like, it's not bad. Like, it's not that bad. Yeah. Yes, some of it is sad, sure, but maybe looking past that, there doesn't need to be so much anger.
Yeah, for sure.
It happens, you know. Yeah. It's just, again, it's not, we're going to be, I'm really excited for what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to be buying cold cuts. We're not going to be buying mayo.
Yeah.
We're not going to be buying anything, just like we do at our other restaurant. Everything's going to be made from scratch. We're going to brine sous vide and cure our own meats. You know, we're going to make our own deli meat. We're going to make our own roast beef. We're not buying it. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to buy deli turkey.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to buy deli chicken. We're going to make everything just like we do in our other restaurant. And it's going to be planning out the kitchen for it, and the bakery has just been so exciting. I'm like ready to burst. I mean, you see me on an almost weekly basis. I'm ready to burst. I'm so excited just to share our vision of what we think that Tap House will be.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, one thing I've always admired about you, and it's something that you did during the pandemic, and that was that you're not afraid to switch things up to make something work. Mm-mm. You know, during the pandemic, I forget what month it was, but you guys were doing Philly cheesesteaks out of there. It's
pretty much right off the rip. Yeah. We were like, oh, shit, we can't have people in our restaurant. And Jesse and I went to Jesse, and our chef, and I said, yo, dude, I want to make some cheesesteaks for the next couple of weeks. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start making, so let's make some rolls and let's make some cheesesteaks and see what happens.
Yeah. And it worked, right?
Sure did.
Yeah. And so I think that's, you know, that's what's great about, you know, your perspective on food and the restaurant industry, or, you know, owning a restaurant rather. And you don't see that too often. You know, a lot of people, it's easy to kind of like, all right, we're just going to weather it. We're just going to stay right here where we're at. Mm. But I think it's really cool to switch things up in order to bring customers something different.
I can't stay pat. I can't just have one restaurant. That was never our goal, ever. I remember meeting with investors and banks and being like, well, this is what, like, ramen in Syracuse will never work. Yeah, that's what they all said that. And then on top of that, okay, if it does work, you know, what's your 5-year plan? And my financial advisors that I was working with, and, you know, some of the other business people that I know, they're well beyond where I am and were giving me advice, would, don't say that. But I always be like, my plan is to have 5 restaurants in 5 years, not one. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm already moving past this. And they'd be like, oh, that's crazy. And, you know, they think, oh, you're just trying to do it for the bread. But for me, it's just, I can't.
Yeah.
Kristen asked me, we were joking around earlier, what's your biggest fear? And it's mediocrity is mine. And that was my answer. And it's always going to be my answer. And any one of my staff members or partners or anybody will tell you that's 100% all I preach. I'm scared of just being complacent. Mm. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. It's why I love being a chef.
Yeah.
It's just because every day you're focusing on being better than you were the day before. And that's, you know, that's our company motto. That's something we're going to live at Tap House, just like we do at Kasai. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. I make mistakes all the time. I've made so many mistakes in the last 3 years being a restaurant owner. It's not even funny. And sure, it keeps me up at night sometimes, but you got to try and think that without those mistakes and learning processes, we wouldn't be where we were. Maybe I wouldn't be in the position where Joe and Ed came to me for Tap House. You know, I can't tell you how blessed I feel for that. You know, which is sometimes hard to hear the negativity behind it, which we always knew was going to come a little bit. But, you know, just the love and how grateful I feel to be able to have this opportunity. I'm telling you, we're going to bring it. We're going to bring it hard every day. You know, we won't get complacent. We won't, you know. Yeah, it's just not. It's not going to. It's just going to be like, what, you know, whether people like or dislike Kasai. Nobody's saying we're not trying. You know what I mean? You can just not like the food. That's just part of being food. Food's subjective, you know?
Yeah.
But we're guarantee you we're gonna try to kick ass every day.
What's it feel like to go to 2? Because, I mean, I don't really feel like, you know, Eat Local's been a side hustle. And we started Good Buddy Coffee, which is this monster, mega huge coffee company. Conglomerate where we've been, Folgers has been calling us and saying, you know, asking, you know, wow, how are you so talented?
Quiet on set.
By the way, I just wanted to again thank my mother-in-law for being our customer at Good Buddy Coffee.
It's good coffee.
Because she also is one of our few listeners here on the podcast.
No, I've seen your videos. You have more than a few.
So when we started Good Buddy, and I had a couple people buying coffee that I didn't know who they were, I was like, wow, okay, maybe I'm a entrepreneur. Now that was a year ago. Now I know that that's kind of stupid, but
no, it's not. How does you have an idea and you brought it to market. That's the definition,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yes. And I love doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But how does it feel going from one to two? I mean, that's a huge jump as well.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary, but I have full confidence in it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, how do you do it, right?
Yeah.
It's less scary than going from zero to one, I'd say. Hmm. And why I think I can say that is I have full confidence in the staff and culture that we've built at Kasai. Some of those mistakes that I talked about earlier and I've talked with you before about on podcasts and also off the record, whether it's staffing or, you know, I've never run a business before, you know.
Yeah.
I never opened a restaurant before, and let alone I've never worked in a ramen restaurant, you know. So that was pretty terrifying. I've done what we're doing at Tap House. I've done it more places than I know. My first sous chef job was at a gastropub. Now, yeah, we're not doing gastropub.
Right.
But similar.
Yeah.
I know how to run this. I know, you know, I feel more confident in doing this one than I did opening Kasai.
Yeah.
And I was super confident with Kasai. Hmm. I just was also very naive. but I feel like I can be so confident because I have Jesse, because I have Danny, because I have Gabby, and everybody else. I would like to name them all, but it's 12 to 13 people, 14. That's a lot. But every single person, Clyde, Alex, all of them, yeah. Emmy, our new staff, they're just been rock stars right out of the gate, some of our new hires. So we wanted to expand, you know, yeah, getting ready for Tap House, because I do a lot there, you know. So there's there's going to be a lot for other people to step up, and they're doing a great job. You know, why I can feel confident is you know, my rock Jesse and Danny and Gabby. You know, those three got me.
Yeah,
you know, they're ready to roll.
Yeah, you really do have a great staff, and I'd say it's one of the best. If not the best, all, you know, it's a little different because like I'm in there, you know, a little bit more often than I am some other restaurants. But Jesse, Danny, Mitch, Gabby,
mm-hmm,
any, like last night I stopped in for dinner on my way here just real quick. And she was like, hey, do you want to sit downstairs? You know, she knew exactly, you know, Danny, who's not even like waiting tables downstairs, right? He's
right
upstairs behind the bar. Running down, making sure everything's taken care of. I mean,
yeah,
you know, Jesse's coming out. I mean,
Britt's the maitre d' of all maitre d's, man.
Yeah.
People always say she's the hostess. She's not a hostess.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Right.
I mean, she's got that place on lock.
Yeah.
I mean, she knows what I want, when I want it, where I want it.
Hmm.
You know, and everybody's like that. We're really tight. We're in fine-tuned.
Yeah.
Mean machine, you know. I think at this point, you know, we're hitting 3 years here real soon.
It's crazy.
Very little turnover to none, really.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, some stuff in the beginning.
Yeah.
But.
And you have, like, Rebecca and I went out to dinner 2 months ago. And it was like when things were really kind of opening up and normal, you know. I mean, it was beyond open up, but they were like felt normal.
It was maybe 2 weeks after we got the green light.
Yeah.
Probably.
And we went there. We went for dinner on like a Friday night. And I said, like, not only was I blown away at how busy you were, but I was blown away at how many, like, how much staff you had on that night. Because you go into a lot of restaurants and you see like two people. So you had a great staff on. Everybody was working. Everybody was, you know, it's just, it feels very cohesive whenever I'm there.
Yeah. And it took a while to get there. It didn't happen overnight. I made a ton of mistakes.
Yeah.
And we joke about some of the issues that we had earlier, but you know, I'll take responsibility for a good part of that.
Yeah.
I was stressed out of my mind. I wasn't a nice, happy-go-lucky boss all the time. Most of the time, I was quite the opposite. Yeah. You know, if you had some cameras in there or looked at some of the tape, I'm sure you'd, like, is that Ramsey or Kyle? You know, like, there were times where, you know, it just wasn't myself, and it took me a little while to find out what I needed, and what I wanted and who I needed and who I wanted. And also it took some time for those people to find me. You know what I mean? Jesse, of course, we always talk about it. I mean, you did a podcast with him. I mean, we work hand in hand together, which is rare.
Yeah.
Which is really rare. I think we've had like one or two disagreements in the 3 years that we've, or 2 years that we've worked together. Mm. You know, it's resolved like that. You know, we just work very well together. And usually when we have a disagreement, there's a few alcoholic beverages involved. But you know, that's so, yes, 1 to 2 is scary.
Yeah.
But you know me, I'm already on to 3 and 4. So yeah. 2 isn't open yet and 3 and 4 is coming. So
how do you envision your time being once Tap House opens? You think you're gonna be there most of the time?
Yeah, I'll be just like it was at Kasai. Yeah. I'll be there pretty much full time.
Yeah.
Of course with 2 I can't be at both, so I envision, you know, hiring a bar manager or bringing a manager and promoting from within is what I usually try and do.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of promoting from within rather than hiring. Yeah. If somebody already is bought into the culture, bought into the vision, bought into the team, you know, and we, our utility guys, our porters, we try and get them on the line. We try and make them into cooks, and then from cooks to chefs or sous chefs. You know, I want to see people get promoted, keep climbing the ranks. If they go on somewhere else, you know, that is what it is, but hopefully we can keep growing our company to where we can provide our employees and their families with expanding opportunities. You know, we're not a corporate machine.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to have a lot of restaurants and a big old successful company, but it's not for selfish reasons. To provide for my family and to provide for my employees' families too, the same as I would want to provide for mine.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of these wage issues and problems and all that, and it's hard as an owner. You know, I see, like, trying to pay a line cook $20 an hour is tough. There isn't a lot of profit in this business.
Right.
But, you know, I'd see where all the different sides of that argument coming in. But
yeah.
I think we've found a nice balance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, I go back and forth on that stuff all the time. You know, on one side, I think people need to be paid more. I mean, my wife and I are both really fortunate to, you wouldn't know it from the part of town that we live in, but you know, we make,
hey, I'm right down the street from your brother.
But we have a nice big farm out there. but you know, we make a good living between the two of us. And you know, there was some meme that had gone out a couple of months ago, showing like what it is that, like, think what was it? Remember that meme, Kristen? It was like what people need to make if they're like married couple with a kid, single parent with a kid, or if they have 2 kids. It was like the minimum that they had to make. That's what it was. And if it was, you were like a single parent with 2 kids, you had to make like $35 an hour. I mean, it was ridiculous. I know plenty of single parents with like at least a kid.
Yeah.
So yeah, part of me is saying to myself, people need to get paid a hell of a lot more. I mean, now having said that, the challenging part with it is, the more that any business, not just a restaurant, is going to be paying their staff, the more they're going to be raising their prices. We've already seen prices raised in the restaurant industry, especially locally. I mean, I've told this story of more than a few times in the podcast, but friends of mine who own a different restaurant downtown, they were talking about something, and my advice to them was, you guys need to raise your prices. You're not charging enough. Like the end of that week, they sent me a text. They were like, hey, we took your advice. We raised our prices. And, you know, it's been like 2 days now, you know, nobody's complained. It's great. You know, we're doing so much better now. Thank you so much. It was like, awesome. Well, Rebecca and I went in for dinner the next night. And when we got the check, it was like, holy shit. Like, that's a lot of money for,
I mean, it's just dinner for 2. There isn't a magic
right
wage fairy coming around, and
yeah,
you got to make it work somehow.
Exactly. I'm a very negative person. I know that about myself. I don't know when the podcast is going to come out, but I just interviewed last night the guy I was telling you the story about who owned, like, how him and his wife started that barbecue food truck.
Yeah.
So I was just talking to him, and I was just remembering when I first moved to Texas, you'd ask people, you'd be like, hey, how's it going? Like, if somebody asked me, 95% of the time, if somebody asked me, hey, how's it going today or now in my life, I'm like, man, I'm so busy. I'm not like, man, I feel great. I've got to own a business, own two businesses. I have a full-time job. My wife's happy. My dog's happy. Chickens are, you know, I don't say any of that. I'm like, man, I'm busy. Oh, it's crazy. I'm so busy. I didn't sleep well last night. When I lived in Texas, you ask somebody how they're doing. They're like, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, everybody's like so positive out there.
Yeah.
I forget where I was going with this. Oh, just because I'm a negative person. So why I'm a negative person, or not why, only my therapist knows why I'm a negative person. I am concerned about what's going to happen in September. So I don't know if it's all of a sudden going to be a big flood of available staff. I don't know if unemployment benefits are going to extend. But I have some feeling, and I've been saying this for 2 years, so obviously I'm wrong. I have some feeling that we're going to see something happen economically, right? So I don't know if that's a crash. I don't know if that's, you know, the start of a, what the hell it is. But I'm concerned that things are going to just going to be even more expensive, you know, in the coming months.
I mean, inflation's got to cap to some point. It's going a little crazy.
Right.
I mean, we're up over $5 a pound on pork belly right now.
It's insane.
Wild.
All of your food's gone up.
Oh my God. It's exponential.
Things are open back up and your expenses are still rising.
Oh yeah, because everything's not opened up everywhere.
Yeah.
And also you have people like, you know, China taking half of our pork supply in the country.
Yeah.
You know, where's that on the news?
Yeah.
It happened. Right. That's why my pork belly is $5 plus a pound. Which is insane. Yeah. It's nuts.
It's nuts.
That's 500% of what I paid for it a year ago or 2 years ago. You know? It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Why'd that happen all of a sudden?
Right. And chicken and beef.
Right. Lumber.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all insane. But, you know, being a negative person, I found myself when I, you know, having open in Kasai, I was like that too. You know, I found myself, and that's not who I am, you know. So, you know, I'm just being all, oh, I'm tired, oh, I'm working this, I don't sleep, this and that. But with local, you know, getting through COVID, still having my restaurant, expanding my business, my family's happy, I have a beautiful son, you know, another one on the way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I feel so blessed.
Yeah.
It's just everything is just really trying to focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just.
Yeah, it's great, man.
It's neat.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's years and years and years and years and years of just sacrificing. Ball back breaking work.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's pretty neat to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, for sure.
And it wasn't dump trucks of money. Or 30-year leases.
Yeah.
That's insane, people. Come on. Where is this information coming from?
It's usually just
sorry, I had to sneak that in there somewhere. Yeah. I didn't sign a 25-year lease.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, one thing we didn't say was that you are the first three-peat guest.
Heyo.
And you're the only guest that's been in all three studios.
Booyah.
So back in the day when I worked at Cafe Cabal, we were meeting there. You were on there.
Mm-hmm.
We were next door at the smaller
studio. We had just opened Kasai.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we were babies. We were like a couple weeks.
I think you were like the second or third or fourth guest. I think the first four guests, from what I remember, were Anthony D'Onofrio, Eamon Lee, Cody Dedishu, and you.
All my friends.
Yeah. So, anyway,
it's quite the group you got on there.
Yeah,
no,
it was a great starting group. Even though D'Onofrio had like just started at Gearhart, so he wasn't even like.
Oh, he's back into the fold now.
I know, he's back out there.
My boy.
my favorite thing about him being at Yards is we weren't there Friday night for dinner and drinks with a couple coworkers, and so we were sitting there. We ordered, and the food was just taking forever. And so I sent him a text. I got their chicken sandwich and. I was like, what are you still trying to catch the chicken? And like 6 minutes later, he comes out with both plates and he said that he saw our names on the check and told the staff to wait on those two tickets.
That makes sense. I know those guys. Don't worry about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were in all three studios now. So
I feel honored.
There it is.
It's a good friendship. And cheers. You got an empty beer still.
Empty
I'm
beer.
Drinking way slow. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have you back on once everything gets opened up and talk about that.
Yeah, so we're looking at, I mean, there's still a lot of flux, of course. Everything's final. It has been for quite some time.
Yeah.
But we're looking at early 2022.
Okay.
Maybe a little sooner for the bakery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But we're doing a full renovation on the space. Yeah. I mean, it's getting torn down and rebuilt. You know, nobody wants to turnkey the restaurant.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking for any handouts, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to work hard for this and really put in our vision for what it is. We're working with the team at Gerhardt's, the design teams. Yeah. They told me to mention them by names, but I don't know if they've earned that yet.
Well, when we do the Gerhardt's customer video, we'll have to mention them by name.
Yeah. No, Juan and Justine are great, and Chef Eamon, of course, helping with all the equipment. The team's wonderful, you know, helping us out with design and all that. My wife's great with it, but it's nice to have some other, you know, people to bounce everything off of, so... We got some really cool plans. I can't wait for people to see what we got coming for
That's
them.
Awesome,
it's gonna be special.
Well, Kyle, thanks for coming down, man. I appreciate
thanks for
it.
Having me as always.
Well, there it is, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out this week's episode of the Local New York Podcast. Do us a huge favor. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast. And then if you really enjoyed it, then consider leaving us a review. Let us know what you think of the podcast. You can follow us online on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok now. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel where we also release the video version of each and every single episode. That's all I have for you this week. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you're just as excited about the Tap House on Walton as I am. Yes, it's one business that's leaving Armory Square, but it's Kyle who's coming in and bringing something fresh and new to the space. You know, a lot of misinformation had been out there regarding things that were happening. And, you know, I feel like a lot of us in Syracuse, a lot of us in upstate New York, myself very much included, are really negative people. And, especially if you read any comments online about the restaurant world here in upstate and central New York, Syracuse. So people wanted to really just jump on and say, oh, it's this terrible thing that's happened to the small local business. And at the end of the day, it's just not. It's one business that is closing. It does suck. We love Blue Tusk. But it's another local business owner who's going to be doing something new and interesting here in the same space. And so I think that's exciting and worthy of our support. So make sure that you're following them on social media, you know, as they, get opened up here early 2022. Make sure you're getting out there and supporting them. And that's it. That's all I got for you in this week's episode. Thanks for checking out the podcast. We're going to catch you next week right here on the Local New York Podcast.